Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello. Thank you.
You can keep that being.
Yeah, I can. Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. You join me, your host Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as Tony from Gravel with Car Sales.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning.
Wherever you're listening to us, at whatever time, you are welcome.
This is worldwide.
If you're joining us here on the YouTube channel, thank you for tuning in. Make sure to hit subscribe and turn on notifications so you don't miss future episodes. If you are listening to us audio only, well, welcome, and make sure to follow us. Welcome, follow us on whatever platform you are listening to us on. Today we have a few different topics that we want to discuss, mainly themed around two main areas. Firstly, we're going to talk about TV and my dalliance.
Terrestrial TV.
Well, yeah, no, dalliance is a weird word, isn't it? Me dipping my toe in the waters of traditional media.
Okay, fine.
Because a long time ago now here on the podcast, we sort of teased a story that I had to tell about how I very nearly ended up presenting Top Gear USA.
Which was about a year ago. It was longer than that.
Because we teased that story or that happened?
No. When it first came out, because I remember we was going somewhere and you said, mate, I might be on TV. Like, I might be going to...
We're
going to
get into it in a second. Okay. So that is to come. We'll also touch very briefly on my appearance on the Channel 4 show Peng Life. Am I saying that right? I don't know. I've also just done some recording for Yanomize's TV show. And in general, it's just an interesting time to talk about that kind of stuff. Before moving on to our sort of car-themed chat today, is if you could take one car around the world, what car would it be?
Ooh.
And that's an interactive section... Yeah, we want to hear from you guys. Anyway, let's kick things off with Televisi. That's Balinese for television. If you didn't tune into a recent episode, I went to Bali recently. Televisi.
We nearly died.
Yeah.
We ain't stopped going on about it.
Check out that episode if you haven't. It's a very depressing, dark episode. Okay, so yes, kicking things off with TV. Let's start with Top Gear USA. So yeah, right. This was a long time ago. And it actually happened right at the end of Vlog Angeles.
It did.
We didn't really know each other then.
Not that well.
We actually met just before I left for LA.
Correct.
Because it was when I was looking to sell the F-Type. You were already going to Dub Customs. The F-Type was there. You were, oh yeah, I'll buy this piece of crap.
And that's not quite what I said.
Not quite.
Similar.
Similar. We chatted a bit and I dropped the car off. Actually, no, that's... Yeah, we did know because I bought the Biposto and I left it here before I went
to
America.
That's right.
God, her memories. So, yeah, for any of you that weren't watching Seen Through Glass at the time, Vlog Angeles was my... 2.5 month series based out of LA. I did a video every single day. It was absolutely incredible. I loved it. It was amazing. It was a great series. If you haven't watched it, there's a playlist over on the main channel called Vlog Angeles. It was a brilliant
link
experience.
Below.
Sorry?
No. Link below.
Thank you. There he is. Pro YouTuber Tony from Gravelwood. The link below. So if you're listening to us, head over to the YouTube channel and just search out Vlog Angeles. But at the end of the trip, it was my final week. I had Paul Wallace from Supercars of London there with me and my best mate Rob was actually staying at the same time. And we were driving to Vegas for SEMA, which is the modified car show. Ever been to SEMA?
No, I've not done that or Monterey, but I'm definitely going to try and pencil it in for next year.
Would you? Do you think SEMA's up your street?
Probably not.
No. I don't think it is either. It is the max power show of the late 90s times 10 zillion.
No, that's not for me.
huge, mate. It goes on 4 miles, and there, you know, you get pickup trucks that are like 70 foot off the ground.
Do you like it?
It's quite fun.
Okay.
It's fine. Exhausting, but it's quite fun.
Okay.
So we're on our way to SEMA, and I get this email. Hi, Sam. My name's Nick. I'm a producer for the BBC America.
The emails of accents?
Yes, literally. And that was his exact accent. And it said, we're producing the new series of Top Gear USA, and we'd love to have a chat. Have you got a number we can call you on? And I was like, "Who this is? Who this is? Lenny the Geezer?
This is a joke?
Me up. Yeah, this is very strange." And Paul was right there with me, but I didn't really say anything because it's a bit of a weird thing to say. Hey, Paul, sorry, Top Gear USA, trying to get hold of me. So I sent him my number. He called me up and he said, "Look, we've seen your Vlog Angeles stuff. We've come across you. Top Gear USA has been off the air for 3 years or so now. It was a bit of a disaster in its previous generation. The viewing figures bombed, and so we're looking to redo it." And we're looking to find an all-new presenting lineup. So
cast.
Like, cast. I was like, cool, how can I help? Like, you want me to do a shout-out on Twitter to try and help people audition? Like, and they were like, no, we would love you to come along and have a chat and see if this might be something that could work. And I was like, this is so weird. So he said, look, our producer and director are in SEMA right now. Are you going to SEMA? And I was like, I'm literally on the road to SEMA. He said, okay, well, what are you doing in 3 hours' time? Can you get to this hotel and can you meet our producer and director? And I was like, yeah, sure, fine. So very weird whirlwind kind of moment. And off I go to some hotel in Vegas, which sounds like a sort of McMafia meeting.
It's like a seedy night out.
Yeah, very seedy night out. There were no strippers and no cocaine, unfortunately.
Shame.
Yeah, real shame. And in the corner of a sort of hotel lobby, I went and I met with these 3 or 4 guys, all very sort of cool TV looking kind of people, maybe in their late 30s, early 40s. A great age, Tony.
Thank you. That's actually my age.
I know. That's why I was trying to be polite. They said, and at this point, I was still relatively clueless as to why they'd reached out to me, what I was doing there. It was all just a bit odd. So I was kind of, I felt like I was going for a job interview. You know, when you're a bit nervous and you just kind of say things to say yes to everything. Can you speak French? Oui! Can you ride a bicycle? I always ride bicycles.
Yeah. Can't you see?
Everything they said, I was like, yep, no, sure. I love that. Oh, I would definitely consider relocating to the US. Yep, no. And it was very nice. And it was just a sort of weird chat about how I got into cars, what my aims were with YouTube, what I was doing there. I actually can't really remember what we talked about, but it was just a sort of perfectly nice conversation, and they explained
chit chat,
and they explained how they were trying to look for a new cast for Top Gear USA, and it was going to be broadcast on BBC America, and it was very late in the day. That's the only thing I remember them explaining, that they'd found me very late in the process, and they had a what they call an on-screen test day set up for a week's time.
So they had other people they were considering, or?
Lots of other people. Okay, said they'd been reaching out to people for ages. It'd been like a 3 or 4 month research process. They'd drawn up a short list, and in a week's time, they were doing an on-screen test day. Would I like to go along?
And you were in that short list?
I was suddenly on this short list.
Perfect.
Now, I was supposed to be leaving LA. Vlog Angeles was over the following Sunday, and the test days were Friday and Saturday. So this is really right at the end of my Vlog Angeles trip. So
fuming.
I was like, fuming. I was like, I got to do a video. I got to do a vlog every day. Like, what's going on? How am I going to make a vlog? When I... So I said, yeah, sure, I'll be there. Because, like, why not? And it was at... Oh, I'm not going to remember the track. There's a track in the desert just by LA. Really famous American track they all go to.
Laguna Seca?
No. Jay Leno goes there. Oh, why am I having a mind blank?
No, I don't.
It's in Top Gear all the time. Mate. Oh, completely.
Okay, some famous track.
Very famous track in the desert near LA.
This is only 40 minutes, by the way.
Sorry. I'll try and speed it up. Please just cut me off if I'm getting really boring. Off I get to the track day. I was told that there would be some on-screen sort of presenting test, and then there would be an on-track sort of review test. I get there, and I do not recognize one other person there. There must be about 12 other sort of, potential presenters. I soon find out they are essentially all US car journalists. Okay. So the Steve Sutcliffe of America.
Okay, so you
the Chris Harris
anyway.
Of America. And I just didn't know who any of them were. Okay. There are a couple of sort of social media-ish personalities. I won't name check people, but all nice people. No one that I don't think any of you would know. We start off having to do these slightly awkwardly set up very Top Gear style things of, here's a Mazda Miata, and Sam, you have to say why you love it, and John, you're going to say why you don't love it, and you're going to have an argument. So it was kind of like, you know, like you see those classic Top Gear things of, I've just bought an MX-5, and it's the best car in the world. And then somebody goes, no, it's not. It's got rust on it. You're an idiot.
Well, actually, me and you could do that quite easily, but when you meet someone for the first time, you don't know their personality.
Zero chemistry.
We haven't got that anyway, but...
And also, it's acting.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get to choose whether I liked or disliked the car I was talking about. And usually what would happen is they would do one section where I was pro the car and the other person was opposite, and then they would flip it around and you'd have to be opposite and the other person would have to be pro. So it was super weird. And the cars that they were using were legitimately a Toyota GT86. And I think that was the car they were using, which I knew nothing about. These were all journalists who were like, well, this has got the Wankel 300 460cc. And I was just like, it's white, isn't it?
That's a Mazda engine.
I haven't got a clue. I literally was like, it's a Toyota, isn't it? So I was absolutely clueless. But it was fun. I was a little out of my depth, didn't really get it. Then we had to go and drive a Shelby Mustang on track and do a sort of classic review on track. I had three laps. They put you in the car and you just had to deliver a piece to camera in your own time within three laps. That was okay, but again, I was a bit nervous, didn't really know anything about the car.
You're not really a reviewer.
I don't review, that's not really my thing, so I just was like, woohoo! So it was a long day and it was relatively fun, but a bit strange. The second day, we met in a studio in Hollywood, and it was a bit more traditional. We had to sort of do pieces to camera down the line. Today, I'm here with the 1989 Mercedes 250, blah, 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 which, you know, so you had to deliver pieces to the line, and we had to do fake interviews, on-stage interviews. So this was the two-day process. It was okay. I didn't love it. I thought it was a bit weird. TV is very different to YouTube.
Absolutely.
Everything takes 1,000 takes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit contrived.
Scripted.
Very scripted. Yeah. Not much creativity. You just stand there and they say, okay, deliver the line. You deliver the line. You don't have anything to do with the cameras or anything like that.
You get told when to bark.
Get told your opinion. Yeah, you don't have an opinion on TV. You get told your opinion. But, you know, it was an experience. And I was like, cool. That was fun. What a fun way to end Vlog Angeles. See you all later. So I get a call 2 weeks later. Sam, we absolutely loved you. And we want to offer you the job. I was like, what?
This is when I remember you telling me.
Because literally, in my mind, it was just a fun, hilarious couple of days. So I was like, what? So they're like, yeah, we thought you were brilliant. We're going to send over the contract. I was like, oh my God, I'm moving to America. I'm going to become a huge TV star. I'm going on Top Gear USA. How do I announce this? Like, I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm moving to America. This is really big. Like, I don't know where to tell you, but I thought that was it. I thought it was done. So I get this email. The contract, no joke, is the size of the Bible. It is like 450 pages long.
Classic American,
classic TV. I can't read the first line. It's like, the narrator of the nominee's business is the under the contract. And I was like, I don't understand this.
Solicitor.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, who do I know who got any legal understanding? And I emailed it to like five lawyer friends of mine and just said, help. All of which came back saying, do not sign this. Essentially, they wanted a, you know, 8-year exclusivity, and they wanted me to quit YouTube, and it was just terrifying. I can't remember the ins and outs of it, but it was terrifying. So I went back to America and I said, look, this is good. We've got to go through this a lot. This is not that simple. And we started a sort of negotiating process. So this must have been November time, early December. It got to the point where I really freaked myself out, and I turned it down and I said, I'm really sorry. I've thought about this long and hard. I'm not interested. So they then came back and said, you know, we'd love a call. We really want to talk this through. We understand your concerns. Let's have a chat. So I had a call with them. They begged and they pleaded. They said, look, we really would love to, you know, look at any of your concerns. So I said, fine, speak to my agent. Hello.
Hilarious.
And
you ain't even got a blue tick.
Nope.
which he's really annoyed about.
Literally fuming about. Only thing I want in life is a freaking blue tick on Twitter. I don't even care about Instagram. Just give me one on Twitter. DM Lewis Hamilton. So anyway, my agent, my end result was they bent over a barrel, gave me everything that I was concerned about, gave me everything I wanted, and we're like, there you go, sign. So then I'm like, okay, well, now what do I do? So then they say, look, we're actually going to do a second on-screen test. We've got the sort of, you know, we know who our three presenters are, but we just want to try a couple of other options. So I flew out to LA for one day. LA for one day. Some of you may remember this, actually. It was,
no, I remember you going.
Yeah, I went for one day. And I got there, and I went turned up in the room expecting to have, you know, the three presenters and a couple of other options. And it was like a whole new audition process. There was about 12 people. A lot of recognizable people. And I'm talking about Hollywood celebrities, UK car presenters, American car presenters. Like, I knew almost everyone in the room.
Did they know you?
No. No one had a clue who I was.
Okay.
I was starstruck by a couple. Like, it was like big names.
Okay, fine.
Obviously, the three that ended up getting the job were in the room. Motorsport, like racing drivers, really cool people. I was immediately out of my comfort zone. Firstly, in my mind, I didn't want this job. They were asking too much of me. I didn't think it was going to be a good move. So I was a little bit against it, but kind of forced into this position.
You had your guard up.
Had my guard up massively.
Yeah, yeah.
Secondly, did not think I was going into a whole new audition process. Thought I was going to just try out a few other people. Thinking that I was kind of, I had the job in some sense. So they'd literally, this had been 2 months of negotiations at this point. Yeah. So I was like, why on earth, would they have gone through all this? I was applying for a US visa through them. Like, it was all a big deal. So I was like, well, why have they done all this if I haven't even got the job? And then it was the same old process of arguing about cars. So I felt very uncomfortable, didn't really give it my all, was a little bit starstruck about the people that I was interacting with, and left feeling like, well, that was a bit crap. Yeah. I don't think I got the job. Anyway, this is going on for so long, this story, isn't it? Get back to the UK. They call up. We still love you. We still want you. Sign the paperwork. So I was like, oh, well, what?
I don't really want it. I convinced myself that I'm not doing it.
For some reason, I signed the contract. I don't know why. They then come back and say, oh, thanks for signing the contract. We're actually still talking to the network. We'll get back to you. So I was like, what? About a month later, I get a note. Hi, Sam. Thank you so much for everything. We're actually going in a different direction and we've chosen three other presenters. So it was a really weird...
Very weird.
Very strange situation that I turned down basically twice. They begged me about the... And then they went in a different direction. So... In the grand scheme of things, and hindsight's a beautiful thing, it worked out great. I didn't get the job. I didn't want the job. And I don't think the show performed that well. But
and you
who cares?
Continue on your path.
Yeah, I continue on my path. Yeah, and the opportunities that presented themselves have been amazing. So a super weird experience. And my first experience of kind of TV and American TV. One I won't forget. It's just a weird experience. It's something I've never really talked about on the channel. I very nearly ended up in this kind of presenter role for Top Gear USA. Didn't.
And some people exaggerate nearly, but as you said, contract signed.
Yeah, I mean,
ready.
I remember, very clearly remember, this was just around the time about buying the 540C.
Mm.
And I remember we bought the 540C and I said to you, I might have to give it to you for 6 months.
Yeah.
And you were going to keep it for 6 months. Yeah, I was like, I just have to keep making the payments or like, that was where we were at.
Yeah.
You was like, why are you buying this car? If you're not? I said, well, because I still want the car and it gives me 3 months of content.
That's, I remember when you also being worried about YouTube, as in you can't not upload for 6 months, mate.
Well, the problem was that they didn't want me to upload, and I couldn't upload, but they didn't want me to say what I was doing.
Mm.
So it would have been 6 months of my channel would have gone dead, and I wouldn't have been able to say why. I would have just disappeared for 6 months.
Yeah.
I've run out. I'm actually feeling a bit nauseous. I've been speaking so long, I've run out of breath. But yeah, very, very weird situation. Something I haven't talked about before. I hope you guys have found that interesting. That's 18 minutes of waffle. Have you got any water, mate?
Yes.
Sorry. I literally feel like I've just been talking for so long.
It's the earthquake again.
It's the earthquake. It's coming back. I know we were going to say we're going to talk about Peng Live and Yanomize, but I'm a bit bored about talking about TV for now, so let's come back to that if we run out of time on the other things. Let's get into cars also, because I want you to talk a bit because I'm exhausted. Let's come on to our main topic of today. Now we've moved on from my Top Gear USA story and discuss one car that we would take to drive around the world.
Now, can that be, do we set a budget? Can it be,
thank you. Just moving Tony's microphone closer to his mouth.
As if I don't speak loud enough.
Whilst eating a biscuit.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. So, no budget.
Fine.
I think it has to be realistic in the sense that let's say you are doing a continuous round the world trip.
So practical.
It has to have some levels of practicality.
Fine.
You've got to think you're going to have a suitcase full of clothes for a year. You've got to think that you're going to be driving over some terrain that is going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be driving through different seasons. It's not all going to be sunny. So
not supercar then?
Well, if you can think of a practical supercar, sure.
No, there isn't one.
Not LaFerrari.
Mama.
So, you know, and you might be going through some areas where it's not great to have a bright red or bright yellow Lamborghini, for example. So, yeah, an air on the side of practicality. But also, we like fast cars. There's no point in going around the
car. No, we rule out supercars because you can't put a suitcase in a supercar, mate.
I think we have to rule out supercars.
We rule out supercars as much as it would be unbelievable to drive a 488 around the world.
Agreed. I would say, though, I'm not going to rule out a 911 with a roof box.
Hello.
Hello. Because there is a car that in a lot of countries can go a little unnoticed. It's not too in your face. It's not too shouty, a 911. If you get a one with four-wheel drive, so a turbo or just a 4S, you're going to be able to take on most, you know, terrain. It's got four seats. It's got a boot. It's got all the equipment you could need. It's going to be reliable. It's going to be fast. It's not the right choice, but it's an option.
I've already thought of my car.
Go on. If you say RS6, I'm stopping this podcast right now.
It's not an RS6. Because we're not, there's no budget. I'm going to go V12 GT4 Lusso.
Okay. This is a very good shout.
I know.
Except for a few reasons. Tell me why you would pick it.
Because a Ferrari, firstly. It's fast. It's practical. It's got four seats. It's got a big boot. It's crap on fuel, but...
That's one of my reasons why it's not a good idea.
I've got a few quid. another downside to it would be, if you went round the world in a Ferrari, you would do upwards of 50,000 miles?
No, if you were actually driving, literally driving around the world, every single country, like 100,000 miles.
Okay, fine. It would be worth not a lot. Literally.
And if you're buying a Lusso, a V12 Lusso for 250 grand.
Correct.
Gone.
That's an expensive trip.
So that's my concern. Fuel, whilst you say you got plenty of quid, there'll be some places you go is looking for fuel stations.
Okay.
So, for example, there's parts of Australia that you'll be going across where you might not see a fuel station for 300 miles.
Big tanks, though, mate, in them cars.
Big-ish. Big-ish.
But very juicy.
Very thirsty.
Yeah.
Service schedules and maintenance. Not everywhere you go in the world is going to have an easily accessible Ferrari
Ferrari's
dealership.
Got a service pack, mate. 7 years.
No. Ferrari dealer, Ferrari service centre.
Yeah, yeah.
Not service pack. What if you are in Romania? How many Ferrari service centres can you find in Romania?
No, but you organise yourself, don't you? You don't just wake up one morning and go around the world in my GT4 Lusso. You you pencil it all out.
But the problem is, if something goes wrong with your Ferrari, which is not too unlikely.
No, no, they're fine.
No, it's not too unlikely. Finding an emergency repair, you know, like that. What I'm saying is, if you go for a BMW, a Mercedes, an Audi, a Volkswagen, you're pretty confident that within a 50 to 100 mile radius anywhere, you're going to find someone who can work on that car. And also, it doesn't matter if you go to Bob's garage. If you take a Ferrari to Bob's garage because you're in the middle of nowhere,
he's going
to
freak out.
He's going to freak out. He might not want to touch it. He might break it. So I agree that Lucid is an amazing idea, but the practicality, yeah, the practicality of it could, and you know what? Okay, you get a puncture. Finding a tyre for your Lusso is going to be a headache.
Ferrari Assist, mate.
Ferrari Assist Africa, not so great.
Have you, do you know, how do you know?
I can just tell you. It might be brilliant. Ferrari Assist Namibia. I think you're causing yourself too much of a headache.
Okay, can I go again?
Please. Because I need this water to refresh myself after my 18-minute monologue.
Okay, so what else can I have? I did actually just think of a car, and then I thought, well, actually, no, that's not going to work. So it's probably got to be German. In that respect, you are right then.
Bit of reliability.
Yeah. Something that's not mass-produced, but still got to be special.
Because you want that feeling, don't you? You want it to be something with a cool badge and gives you a sense of occasion when you get in it.
What about the new Mercedes AMG four door?
Yes. Now this was actually going to be my choice.
What?
Yeah, sorry. So you've kind of blown my load a little earlier there. Okay, so yes, this is the AMG GT four door.
Yeah.
And we have become fans of the AMG GT because you've bought an AMG GTR.
Yeah. And it's a very good car.
So this isn't the GTR, is it? It's a GTS.
With four doors.
With four doors.
Yeah. And a big boat.
I actually saw one and got up close to one during the launch of the C63 Estate. It's very nice. It's not that practical. The boot's not that big.
Okay.
But who cares? Because you could put a roof box on it. I love a roof box. It's got four seats or five. Maybe it's got a five. I think you can get five as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Sporty as hell. Performs like an AMG GT. It's a Merc, so relatively reliable, we'd have to think. And you could probably find Mercedes servicing. You know, none of the parts of that terrifying. They're relatively familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
Good-ish on fuel economy. It's a turbo. I think that's a very strong and solid choice. And you've got a lot of performance. It looks great. It's got road presence. It feels kind of special. But to flip side that, as a slightly more subtle variant, what about the E63S? Wagon Estate.
You've got a bit of a...
I'm big on the wagons at the moment, especially the AMG wagon.
With the biggest problem with estate cars now, for me, is SUVs, mate.
Yeah, good point.
They've like taken the world over.
SUVs taken the world over, but SUVs still perform like SUVs. I don't care what you say about that stupid Urus. They are still fundamentally...
That actually could be one of the cars.
Oh, don't. What an awful piece of poo. Just wait for the Audi RS QA. It'll be much better in everywhere.
And half the money.
Half the money. You know, you can't... Even if you're in a Range Rover SVR, it still feels like an SUV. That's not a bad thing. Whilst I think wagons feel a little bit more dynamic.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's personal preference as well, because people will be writing in the comments and shouting down the cameras at us at cars that we won't think of because it doesn't... represent our driving style, what we like. Everyone is different. So a 911 is actually a really good shout because I was just thinking a bit more practicality.
No, and you're right. And I think if you were actually doing this and signing up all those cars that you lust after and go, oh yeah, it'd be brilliant to go around the world in an F12, when it actually got nuts and bolts, I think you would realise that's not...
Or a Panamera Gran Turismo would be awesome. However, boring.
Boring. I think it's boring. Yeah, boring. I think after a while you'd be, could have something else. Doesn't
but
sound
that would
that
be perfect.
Yeah, there are lots of cars that would be great, but you'd want it to be exciting as well. And I'm going to really throw a curveball in here. And stir
as you always do.
Recently, Tony, I drove the new Aston Martin Vantage.
Oh.
And it's the best car in the world ever made.
Oh, that piece of stupid.
Okay, that's a stretch. That's a stretch. But I did like it's the perfect car for me. For me, that is the. And one day I will own that car.
Okay,
it's just going to happen, and it's the perfect.
Just
car
wait
for
6 months,
me.
And you'll save yourself $50,000.
Probably. But I was chatting to the dealer, and they showed me some pictures. I was amazed by how much you can fit in the new Vantage.
Okay.
And again, stick a roof box. No. But
Stradman.
Stradman. I'm not against the idea of a front-engine GT car because I love them for me. So yeah. Looking at a Vantage, even an... I think an F-Type's a little too impractical. As they, you know, they're definitely not as practical as a Vantage. Or an AMG GT or a DB11 or what's some other good... Because I think F12, 812, it's too much. It's too much money.
Mate, my AMG GTR would be a good round-the-world car.
It would be a great round-the-world car.
You get suitcases and then we know that.
For sure. I think that's a great shout, as do I think the new Bentley. A lot of money to lose, but oh, it's a good wafter car, that is.
Mate, I've changed my mind. I'd take the AMG GTR.
But not the four-door?
No. The AMG GTR is better. It's faster. It handles. The only problem is with that is... It gets a little bit bumpy.
It's a bit bumpy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you've got to think, like, in America, you're going to be doing a lot of long, straight roads.
No, but the roads in America are good, so that's fine. I was thinking more like Africa.
Mm. That's the thing is, I think you don't want to think too low as well. That's the only thing which then, unfortunately, starts to lean towards the SUV side of things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, and we are imagining the worst here. Like, we are thinking of, but I think...
We're asking a lot for
I
a
sound
car.
Very naive here, but I think Africa has good roads. Like that sounds like a real, like, you know, white girl Chelsea, like, Sloan comment. I think Africa has, like, great roads. So like, you know, I don't think you need an SUV, but I think it would help you in a lot of situations. So what are our sporty SUV options? I already know which one I'm going to go with, but I'm going to let you speak first.
Well, the best sporty SUV that I've ever driven is the Macan GTS.
Ooh, I didn't see you going in that direction, but okay.
So what did you think then?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I thought you were going to say Urus.
Ugh.
Or I've not Range driven Rover. It. But,
no, the Range Rover SVR, but I'm talking sporty.
Yeah,
you can't
yeah.
go around a corner in an SVR no. like you can a Macan GTS.
Well, my choice of SUVs right now, even though I haven't actually driven it yet, F-Pace SVR.
That's coming.
That is coming. And I think it's not half the price of the Range Rover, but it's a bargain. It's $75,000. Looks great, sounds great. Drag.
It's the same car, mate.
F-Pace. Everyone loves the F-Pace.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the F-Pace. I always thought it's brilliant. That is probably... That's where I would lean. That's the direction I would lean in.
$80,000-ish.
Mm. It will take the miles well because people use those cars. It's not too prestige. People won't look too much if they don't really know. It just looks like a Jag SUV. Good ground clearance, lots of space. I like that.
You take your F-Pace R and I'll take my AMG GTR and then we'll figure out which is the best car.
It's a fun thought though, isn't it?
Very
it is
fun.
A fun thought going around the world in a car on an adventure.
Yeah.
As I say, like, I think we'd all love to pretend that we would do it in 488 or whatever you might say, but even the thought of doing it in an AMG GT 4-door, the E63, an F-Pace, 911, all these, it's such a cool idea.
Very good.
We want to know what you guys would do it in. I would love to hear suggestions because, as Tony mentioned, I'm sure lots of you are going to come up with brilliant ideas
that
we don't even think about. But as I say, don't go crazy. There has to be a side of sort of sensibility or caution.
What about the fast Alfa SUV?
Stelvio. I didn't love that car.
No.
I'd have the Giulia over it every day.
Yeah.
And Giulia with a roof box. The amount of roof box suggestions we're going to get now. Hurricane with a roof box. I will take a Veneno. I'll just put a roof box. I'll pull a trailer behind it. Try and be relatively sensible. But we'd love to know. Okay. That's that topic. Moving on. Okay. Let's very quickly go back to the TV things brutally. Did you see Channel 4's Peng Live?
I didn't, but I don't know enough about it, and I want you to tell me.
I don't know much about it either.
You was in it, mate.
I was in it. UK viewers of this podcast may know about a guy called the Chicken Connoisseur.
And what is this?
Elijah. He became viral a year or so, 2 years ago, reviewing chicken shops. He was a man of the people. He spoke a language I didn't really understand.
How old is this man?
He's 20 something.
Okay,
he
looks,
I think he wouldn't mind me saying he looks about 12. Okay, and I think he uses that as his USP. But he's mid-20s.
English.
English. Not sure where he was from. I can't remember where he's from. But
he likes chicken.
He loves chicken. He loves chicken. And he's from a generation and from a, you know, a clique. A scene that I've never, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin getting involved with. But he was incredibly nice and his friends were unbelievably nice, but they spoke a language and, you know,
you didn't understand.
I've not clue, mate. Not clue. Okay. I don't eat chicken. I don't go to chicken shops. But anyway, he went viral. People loved him. He was very funny. He
you
is
go
very
to
funny.
Nando's, mate.
I do go to Nando's,
you
but
do
I
eat
think
chicken.
He considers Nando's to be like the Ivy or like a really posh restaurant version of a chicken shop. Right, we're talking okay. about like Ken's chicken.
Okay. Favourite chicken and all that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. But as a really cool guy. And Channel 4 gave him a TV show. And it was called Peng Life. And his with his mates, he reviews the top end of the market, the bottom end of the market, and decides which is better for value for money.
So where did you come in?
Cars. The first segment of the first episode was reviewing the car market, a top end car and a bottom end car. Every episode or every segment, he has industry experts help him make his decision. So he had me and Jody Kidd in an MX-5 and me in a Lamborghini Gallardo. Now, for any of you that watched it who are car fans will know that the Gallardo was a bit of a dog. It was an old, beaten up, manual Gen 1 Gallardo that had been bastardized to look like a Superleggera. And the MX-5 was just a standard sort of
Paul Wallace's old car.
Yeah. and we just had to, you know, we just had to appear on the show and kind of convince him why our car was better than the others. It was, again, a really fun experience, quite weird, quite bizarre. I loved doing it because it was putting me out of my comfort zone. I guess integrating with an audience that definitely wouldn't have watched my content before.
No.
And it's just great to meet the guys and check out what's going on. But yeah, it's odd. It's odd. But I think we're the wrong generation and we're the wrong scene.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if people listen to grime music, I...
No.
Coldplay don't do grime music, so I don't... Anyway... It was super cool. If you want to check it out, it's not called Freud anymore. It's called All Four, I think. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. Channel 4's online service. It's still on there. Peng Life. Really fun. Really glad I did it. An awesome experience. Thank you a huge amount to Channel 4 and the Chicken Connoisseur for having me involved. But yeah, check it out. See what you think.
Good.
I think that's about it. A short podcast, but I really feel breathless. I don't know why. Probably because we just recorded a podcast before this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just too much talking.
No more TV shows to talk about?
Oh, yeah, Yanomize. Sorry, man. Mate, I'm not with it. I need
Sorry
some sleep.
About that.
Sorry about that. It's not a very together podcast. It's felt very monologue-y. Yes, I recently filmed for Yanomize's second series of his TV show, which goes out on Dave. The TV thing is fun. I'm not really looking to move into TV. I'm not chasing a TV career. There have been some awesome opportunities that have come my way. I don't like the lack of creativity in TV.
It is dying TV, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I watch shows on Amazon and Netflix.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do now.
I don't really sit down and watch much TV anymore.
No.
And it just feels like a very archaic way to make content.
Yeah.
And an expensive way to make content. You know, thousands of cameras and sound people and this and 18 takes for... I mean, the Peng Life clip was... We started shooting at 9 a.m. and finished at 5. And it was a 3-minute segment.
And it took all day.
And I can film a full 12-minute YouTube video and... I could film it in 12 minutes if I needed to because I've done one takes.
Well, you can't when I do it with you.
No.
It takes
no.
all day.
Well, usually I take about 5 hours, but I have done one takes before. So...
I don't believe you.
No. I've never done a one take in my life. So yeah, I'd say, you know, I'm loving the opportunities. I won't turn them down. I'll keep doing them. I'm not necessarily seeking them out.
Mm.
But yeah.
Cool.
Great. We hope you've enjoyed today's slightly another interesting podcast. As I say, the round the world car thing's really interested me.
Very interesting.
The TV stuff I just wanted to get off my chest because lots of you have been asking about TV, so I just felt like we need to talk about it.
You're not going to automatically now become a TV presenter.
No, that's not what I'm looking to do, but...
Don't worry.
If Sky Sports F1, you're looking for a commentator. Hello. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. If you're watching us here on YouTube, make sure to hit subscribe. If you're listening to us, keep following us on whatever platform you're listening to on. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, various social medias, and we will catch up with you very, very soon.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.